And Moses said to the Lord, Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, neither to this point, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wast sent. Send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak to him, and put words in his mouth, and he will be with thy mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do these signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, said to him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return to my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, in the language of Midian, or in Midian, Go return to Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon his ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand, and the Lord said to Moses, When thou goest to return to Egypt, see that thou do those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say to Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Now the Lord prepared him, and he went. When he first got there, he was probably a little nervous. But as he continued on and the Lord continued to back up his word, Moses got bolder and bolder. Trust had formed. This is very important. When you trust the Lord, you can do what you normally couldn't do. Trust takes you to the next glory. Trust ushers you in to what God has down the road. Trust takes you to a greater place of life. If you trust God and take him at his word, he's going to show himself strong on your behalf. Now, the Holy Spirit knows this. When you trust the Lord, and I want everybody to hear this to understand, you're not trusting the wind. You're trusting God. He's a person. So treat him, interact with him, not just with great respect, but also as a person. Respect who he is. Fear God. Love God, but trust him as a person. Relate to him as a person. See, when you worship the Lord, worship enters, it helps you come into his presence, honoring God, hearing the word, seeking to do it, seeking to be a blessing. It helps you enter into his presence. And when you're there, when he tells you to do something, be obedient. Now, my new definition for obedience is prompt faithfulness. As soon as God puts something on your heart, bless it and protect it. Don't let somebody take it from you. Let the roots grow deep in your heart and act on it immediately or according to the timing of his instruction. Every time God give me an assignment, I thank him for it because I fully intend to be obedient. And I protect it. I bless it. I speak life to it. I say, I will do this. And you can't serve God half-hearted. with God, it's got to be all or nothing. You got to plant that seed in your heart, and it has to take root. That's why so many people don't finish what they begin. It has to be part of you. The word, any part of the word that you do, when your intentions are to live like God do His word, it's got to be a part of your heart. You got to let the word soak down deep in your ears and into your heart, and it's part of who you are. Now, some people may be slow to do that. I understand that, but that's a protocol. That's what needs to happen, because when the enemy comes, you're going to need the root of God's word to withstand. Just like when the word was sown among stones, when the sun came up, though it sprouted up promptly, and it looked good before man, it dried up when the sun came out, when the opposition comes. And then don't let yourself get bogged down with the cares of this world. Fears and hurts, things that distract you, problems, how you going to make it, worries, anxieties. Put that aside. Focus on the Lord. Faith looks to God. And speak life over what you're doing. Now, the kind of trust that Moses displayed when he went to Pharaoh, it's because he spent enough time with the Lord to get an understanding. And he knew that God was going to perform his word. When he got to Pharaoh, Pharaoh didn't believe him. So he threw his rod. Well, the servants threw their rods down. They turned to serpents. Moses threw his down. His rod turns to serpents, to a serpent, and ate the and ate Pharaoh's priest. He ate their serpents. Then it turned back into a staff, and Moses picked it up. So when you spend time with the Father, whatever protocol he give you, whatever he tell you in your heart, it's going to work. So when you do these things, you too, as you trust God, we trust him because of our past relating to him. We believe him because we heard the word. You know, believing also forms after hearing the word. But see, that relationship, and that's an aspect that the church needs right now. Too many people, God give them stories to write, books to write, poems to write, songs to write, and they don't do anything with it. They don't trust God any further. If God bothered to give you something, he has a plan for it. Somewhere, some way, he has a plan for it. This is another reason to trust God. I said that when people have a good and honest heart, the Lord knows, and he will raise somebody up in time to minister to him. See, when you trust God, everything is well evaluated. When God came to Moses, everything was already evaluated. God told him what was going to happen from the start. Now, he can do that. Sometimes we're so wishy-washy, God will just tell us to do something, and he'll reveal the plan later on. And that happens more than, I don't know if it happens more or not, but the testimonies that I hear, that's how it happens. In my life, the Lord gave it to me piece by piece. And I kept being obedient, and he gave me more. See, before God can introduce you to the people that you're supposed to be a blessing to, you must be thoroughly dedicated, and you have to be trained. So there's no reason to go any further if you won't train. But if you train, God will he'll grace you, and he'll bring you to a point where you can help save people's lives. You can help be a blessing, the blessing that he needs you to be. Now, when you trust a man, man only see what you see. So we trust our plumbers, firemen, policemen, mechanics. We trust people, contractors. Now, if you get on an airplane, you trust that pilot because you don't want to die. And you trust that airplane. Why do you trust the pilot and the airplane and the mechanics who put it together and fixed it? Because they've gained rapport with society. you rarely hear of a plane crash. You can go a decade before you hear of a plane crash. They can crash, and they do crash, but they are reliable. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of flights every day, and months and sometimes years go by before one crashes. Think about it. If they crashed every week, people would stop flying. But they don't crash every week. It's usually, you know, every time one crash, the companies get together and see what they need to do better, and they make laws. You know, a plane has to change its parts so many hours, and they have to change and flush the hydraulic system so that the hydraulics don't jam. Things have to, and every, if I was, I knew a lady that was an airplane mechanic. They're not like auto mechanics. Every tool goes in a specific place in the box, in the toolbox. When they start on it, nothing's missing. When they finish, nothing. The plane don't leave until every tool is in that box. And every bolt and nut is accounted for. If you lose parts, the plane don't leave. You got to find the parts. Now, auto mechanics are different. We lose tools in cars, and we have to buy more tools. But if they do it, they got to find it. So we trust the airplane and the people that work on them and the people that fly them because they earned our trust. Now, when you interrelate with the Lord, you learn to trust Him. And so the first time He tell you to do something, it may be a dog bath walk. You know how you get ready to bathe your dog. His old tail go between his legs, especially in the winter months. They might do all right in the hot months. But it's a dog bath war. Moses says, send somebody else I don't talk with. And you see how the Lord got upset with Moses? He want us to believe Him. When God want us to believe Him, folks. When Jesus walked up on that fig tree and it didn't have figs on it, He said, no man eat from you again from this time forward. Dried up from the roots the next day. Why? He's the King. The thing is, though, the reason God is more patient with us is because Jesus is our high priest. And the Father knew His temperament. He knew, God don't play, folks. He loves us. But He thought ahead of how He would do things and how He would fit. He caused Jesus to be our high priest. He made Moses the high priest. He let him keep cattle for 40 years. He got used to running cattle. Then God trusted him with His people. See, God trains you first. He thinks of everything. If you trust God, you're going to learn something about Him that you may or may not know. He thinks of everything. God can see you standing wherever you are. He can see miles behind you, miles on either side of you, what's way ahead of you. And watch this. He can even see through time. He knew you were going to be born. He raised up people to bless you. And in the moments of your life when you believe Him, God will cause you to meet who you need to meet. And they'll bless you and they'll help you enter into the next glory. Now, there's another broadcast called Sanctions. And every time you learn, I used to wonder, why is it, Lord, I'm learning these wonderful things where other people don't see it? The Lord helped me explain that in the broadcast called Sanctions. And Sanctions was about the glories of the Lord that we enter into. And then the one right next to it on this page, on page 7, is called See-Through Glory. And you just have to look at those whenever you want to. But for now, when you trust God, it's because of the past. When you relate to Him. James said, if you draw near to Him, to the Father, and He'll draw near to you. He resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. I told my daughter, when you study the word and you receive it with the intent to do it, the word will minister to you. If you're looking for loopholes, it won't. It's not the same. But if you soften your heart and be receptive, then the Holy Spirit can work with you. If you're proud at heart, trying to figure out what you can get away with, you know, you're going to see you'll probably pick up on the warnings of God and the revelations of how dangerous it is to follow after Satan. Everything can look good from a certain point of view. Satan don't come to you like a monster. And really, to be honest with you, he's not going to look like a monster when he comes. Even though he has the heart of a monster, he's going to come to you with a cool, smooth voice. He know how to play your emotions. But when you learn to trust the Lord, you'll begin to see the lies for what they are. The more light you walk in, the more you'll see the lies for what they are. If you have pain in your body, the pain suggests that you can't get healed. But when you keep drawing near to the Lord, you will override what hurts, and your faith will mow that down, and you'll receive your healing, and you'll begin to have greater confidence in God's word. But as you relate to him, you're going to begin to trust him, and you're going to see successful things happen. You're going to see things, you're going to bring a greater element of prosperity to everything you do. Consider these things, because God is truly with us, and the Holy Spirit is ready to do his part. And the word of God will help you get to a point where you'll do your part. And the men and women that God raised up to bless you, listen to them, hear them out. Take time, be a student. Study the word, be faithful doing that, but also listen to all the men and women that God has raised up to be a blessing. See, when God raises people up, he anoints them. An anointed person can do what a regular Christian can't do. I'm going to end with this. I asked the Lord his definition of the anointing. And this, I'm going to answer it. But first, you know how people like to watch the Marvel comics and the DC comics? They are super people. Well, guess what? The anointing is greater than all of that. I was watching Superman one day, and he was flying, and he was taking out the villains. He could see through all this metal and everything. He was doing supernatural things, And I thought about it. I thought about the course of my life, and as I obeyed God, I said, I can do that too. By the Holy Spirit, I was able to fight spiritually, stop gunfights. I said, I've done greater things than Superman. Now, this is the definition. I'm going to close with this. The definition of the anointing. I said, Lord, what is your definition of the anointing? He said, it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. It doesn't matter how far-fetched it is, what it is. When God, you have God's ability. And a good illustration is Samson. He was anointed to judge Israel and avenge Israel. And he did, his tactics were kind of gruff, rough, but he was very wise, very effective. Then when Delilah came, she got him off his A-game because her heart wasn't for him, and he was distracted by her. That's why it's important not to depend on crutches. Don't let people be a crutch. Nevertheless, the illustration remains. When he was in covenant, nothing could stop him. When he wore himself out fighting, water came out of the jawbone. When you're anointed, you cannot, I'm going to say this as plain as I can, when you're anointed, you cannot fail in what you're anointed to do. Because you have God's ability, and God, my friend, never fails. He never has failed. Now, I said earlier that the Lord can see through time. There is a scripture that says Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When God first formed the earth and the sons of God cried out, that Job referred to, God knew that he was going to have to send his only begotten son to redeem man. Now think about that. He already had a plan in place from the foundation of the earth. Consider it. God, he didn't make nothing he can't master. When he said, let there be light, he started a process of healing on the earth. The earth had been judged in and out of water. The only creation verse, I'm going to say it again, I promise I'm going to end with this. The only creation verse is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Everything else is a restoration. And I don't know why I had to bring that up again. But anyway, if you look at the covenant week on audio page 6, it'll explain all that. What God did in chapter 1, that's the restoration week. And it prophetically shows what God is going to do in our covenant week. All right, every day is 1,000 years to God. So we're at the end of the week. We're at Friday evening. It's almost Saturday. Jesus is going to reign 1,000 years, which is Saturday. And that's the last day of our covenant week. So consider these things. Trust the Lord your God and King. Become part of his plan. You'll get used to it. And it'll get better and better. And you'll trust God more and more. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Because he's going to back up every word he give you to do. You just keep trusting him and learn to trust. The skills will grow. I promise you, the skills will grow. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ